Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 343. It's December 10, 2015. Well, such a difficult concept for us to grasp. How can it be? Let's take a look at what it says and trust that God is good and God is fair in His eyes. And that's the only eyes that matter, right? We were talking yesterday about Romans 9 and the difficult passage there of how God knew that Rebecca was going to have two sons and that one of them would be favored above the other. The older one would actually serve the younger one. That's how it was going to be. And we all wish Paul had not taken it a step further, don't we? But he did. And he said what I gave you today as our opening verse. That comes out of Malachi 1, verse 2. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Deal with it. But why bring the prophet Malachi into this, Paul? The prophet actually begins his book with this very statement about his preference for Jacob. This is not hidden away somewhere in the book later on. It's the opening statement of his prophecy. Wow. His preference for Jacob, who became Israel, which became God's mighty nation of the same name. Esau, on the other hand, became Edom, and as a man, as a nation, eventually extinguished. And we look at him as one of the bad guys in Scripture. Why? Why? The reason ultimately is known only to God. It's not about human characteristics. I know Esau blew his chances at a blessing and a birthright. But Jacob's character was not squeaky clean either. God had to deal with him severely at times. But we're talking about the purposes of God, the ultimate purposes of God. Have you been lined up with the ultimate purposes of God to save people out of the world today? Did you know that we're not called to change the world and make the world a better place? We're called to bring people to Christ, to call out a people for His name. That's our calling. That's not just the preacher's calling, that's our calling. Calling out the people of God that He has seen from the foundation of the world. I don't know who they are, and you don't either, but God's calling us to get the word out so that His people will respond. But before either of them, Jacob or Esau, had done anything, before they had shown their hand, God said, "This is what's going to happen." So you're not convinced? You think I'm making all this up? Interpreting wrong? Well, Paul's not finished. It gets more intense than just Jacob and Esau. He could tell people were already going to be nervous with his illustration. I'm nervous with it too. You know, it's very difficult for us. But he could tell, he knew what he was saying was going to hit people the wrong way. And he affirms right away, there's no injustice with God, even though our mind says there is. Paul says, and we know that there is not, there's no injustice. And to prove his point, he just quotes God himself. It was God that said, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." Hey, it's my business, says God. It's my business. It's not your business. Don't make conclusions about what I should say or what I should do or not do. Who are you? You're created. You're dust. Verse 16 sounds a lot like the verse in John chapter 1 that we quoted above. Verse 16, it doesn't depend on the person who wills it. Does it depend on the person who tries hard? But it depends on God who has mercy. God saves sinners, not righteous people, remember? He saves Gentile outcasts and Jewish aristocrats. He saves Pharisees. He chooses the worst. He confounds the best. That's just how it is. It's God's business. Do we move on? Let's move on. Why not? Same chapter, same apostle, same difficult subject. But now we're going to talk about Pharaoh. Oh, no. Oh, my. It was to that world ruler that God gave this piece of information. Hey, Pharaoh, you thought you raised yourself up? You think you're so wonderful? No, I raised you up. Why? I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you. That was my plan from the beginning, and that's my plan right now. I don't change. I want to be glorified. I am God Almighty. I deserve to be glorified. No one else does. And I'm going to use you, Pharaoh, to glorify myself, to demonstrate how powerful I am. I know this is a side of God that we don't hear about too often because He is love. And all His mercies toward us have told us that. He's just a God of love. And it's all true. But there's other parts, other things. You'll never, ever, ever figure out who God really is. But I'm telling you only some things that the Scripture tells us as a group. We all get this together, that God is a jealous God too. Loving God, merciful God, jealous God, powerful God. He wants us to know it all. I'm going to use Pharaoh. I'm going to use you, Pharaoh, to demonstrate who I am. And that's my business too. Now here's Paul's summation. That's not mine. Please, no texts, no emails. I'm not summarizing this. Paul is summarizing it. I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as all the words of Scripture are. He says, in summary, God has mercy on whomever He desires. Well, you could almost live with that, right? Until the next part of the verse. And likewise, He hardens the ones that He wants to harden. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. We want to say, well, God's sounding like John Calvin. No, wait a minute. Whoa, it's the other way around. The other way around. Charles Spurgeon didn't like the term Calvinism. He said, it's just Bible. Why are we talking about Calvinism? It's just what's in the Bible. But forget John Calvin and Jacob Arminius. This is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of that Holy Spirit that everybody's talking about, but no one wants to listen to. He hardens whom He wills. He can harden anyone. That's what Paul got from all this. You might, without Paul there, you might try to go get around Malachi. Well, that's Old Testament. We love to do that. Get around Pharaoh. That's Old Testament too. God had things to do back then. I mean, He's not doing any of that today. No, Paul's bringing it right down to us. Anyone He wants to harden, He hardens. You don't like that? Why? Well, here's why. How can He blame me for something He chose after all? That's where Paul goes with this next. How can God blame me for something that he chose in me. There are explanations to that to a degree, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go where Paul went. The answer is there is no answer. Keep your mouth closed in the presence of an almighty and holy God. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean he's that way too? He's that way too. I just said he's loving and merciful. Yeah, he's loving and merciful. But don't get in his face and tell him he can't do what he wants to do. My goodness, he lets you do what you want to do enough. Let God do what he wants to do. He's going to do it anyway. Keep your mouth closed. You're talking back to God. That's Paul. Read it. Are you in Romans 9? You think I'm making this up? Romans 9. Read it there. You're talking back to God. Not to me, not to Paul. You're criticizing God. You obviously don't comprehend God and his ways, or you wouldn't talk like that. You're a created thing. You're like a cup, Paul says, in a potter's hand. He can make you into a beautiful chalice for a king, or he can make you into a spittoon for a leper, if he wants. I'm paraphrasing Paul, but you know I'm telling you what Paul said here. Keep your mouth closed. Don't respond when God's talking. You say, that sounds mean. That's not fair. By whose standards? By my own, God says. I want to be the standard maker, the standard keeper. Your standards and mine, folks, they don't count. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. Let me tell you, we've got to do it that way first. We've got to accept God for who he is first before we can understand. Like when you were getting saved, you had to judge your sin first. That's where the tears came from. That's where the perhaps desperation came from in some people's lives. I have sinned too much. God cannot save me. He is holy. And you realized it. You got it. But it wasn't long until you saw that other side. There's two sides for sure. Many sides. Many things about our God. Let it all sink in. God is God. You're not. He is good. And you're not. You think you are. Sin is against a good God, the good God. Men have chosen with their, quote, free will that they like to talk about. They've chosen sin because they can't choose God. They're all doomed to be cursed. That's the rules. The soul that sins dies. An eternal death. Separation from God. But because of God's grace and mercy, he chooses a few out. A relative few. Actually, many, many people. But in comparison to Earth's populations, I believe, over the millennia, just a few. And you are one of them. And so am I. Christ lives in us. You can feel the promise of eternity in your heart. Almost everyone listening to me, because sermon audio attracts people who are Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're listening to me, perhaps you're feeling drawn to this God yourself. Oh, I wish I was in that group. You know what? That's a signal. That's a signal. No one comes to the Father and unto Jesus unless the Father draws him. You're being drawn. Rejoice in it. You believers serve God, while around you is the devil's self-serving crowd. You're different. You're saved. Now you can see how amazing that grace is when you realize that most people don't get it. They don't understand it. They'll never come for it, most of them. Grace is amazing. Because you actually were chosen. You're on the team. They didn't leave you out. You're going to be in heaven. Choosing suddenly isn't such a bad thing after all. Ah, amen. Amen. We will continue next time with this choosing thing, and then we'll probably not tomorrow, but soon after that, get into the L. Oh boy. The L. Limited or non-limited atonement. We got to talk about that one. They're all difficult, folks. It's time for some of us, maybe we're talking over the heads of a few, and that's okay. There's elementary ed, and then there's that middle school, and then there's high school. I don't know where this is, but this is a tough one for some. But it's got to be approached eventually. May God give us grace to understand what He wants from us while we're here. Okay, don't forget to click on photos when you're at Sermon Audio. At the top of my page, just click on photos. Then click on that first album that you see. You can click on any of the albums if you want. They're a little older. Excuse me. But that first album, I now have, 94, 95 pictures of North Korea. Every 2 or 3 days now, I put something up there that just kind of keeps you into the flow of what's happening over there, historically or spiritually or whatever. Just go to that photo album and pray for North Korea. Tomorrow we go to number 8 in our presentations of TULIP, the 5 points of Arminianism, challenged by the 5 points of Calvinism. I confess to you, I've been on the latter side. Not because I'm trying to choose sides, I just see that in the scripture now. I hope that you will bear with me. Don't think that I'm totally sold out to one man's opinion. I see that there's some other things that I picked up along the way. God bless you today. Don't forget Malachi 1:2. It's still there. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. God bless you. I think He loves you if you're listening today. Bye-bye.